Chapter 6. Action Research. The Checking Phase. Chapter 6, Part A. In Chapter 5, we learned about the Public Health Leadership Academy, which was founded by a major university using funds from a federal grant to promote leadership development among public health employees in a southern state. The project involved developing a leadership academy for mid-level managers, who exhibited potential to advance to higher levels of public health leadership in the state. The intervention was in response to a long-term need based on previous analyses of the state's public health agency, including succession planning. This need had existed for many years because there were not enough public funds available to provide a comprehensive program. The grant finally created the opportunity to deliver this much-needed program. James, the client, worked with Leah, the external consultant, to plan and implement the program. James and Leah engaged in action research to collect and analyze data about the needs of the target population, mid-level public health managers, using interviews and surveys to determine the content of the courses that would be offered in the Leadership Academy. The project had a 2-year implementation timeline, with year 1 focused on planning and year 2 devoted to implementation. Evaluation would be ongoing and continue past year 2 with a new cohort starting in year 3 staffed by internal consultants. During the year 1 planning phase, James and Leah were very involved in collecting data to inform the content and process of the Leadership Academy. They continually stopped to reflect on their decisions, plans, and processes, and made adjustments to each as the project unfolded. They also piloted the first session among a small group of advisors to the Leadership Academy to make sure their design would resonate with the participants. They made more changes following the pilot to improve the program. During year 2, 25 managers chosen for the academy participated in monthly leadership development experiences and seminars. The Leadership Academy began in September with these 25 managers who had been competitively selected from across the state. The participants convened at a resort, and the program was kicked off by high-level state public health officials. The first session lasted 3 days, during which time the participants received the results of a leadership styles inventory, listened to innovative lectures and panels on leadership, planned an individual leadership project in their districts, and engaged with each other to develop working relationships. The Academy continued meeting monthly for a year and focused on a range of topics related to leadership that were prioritized based on prior data collection. The grant provided for an evaluator, so data was collected at each meeting. The first 2 years of the project involved ongoing assessment of the Academy's plans and implementation, followed by appropriate adjustments. James and Leah included cycles of assessment and adjustment as a regular part of their agenda and conversation. The evaluator observed all of the sessions and sent out formal evaluations after each monthly session. During the sessions, facilitators regularly asked participants to provide feedback. For example, they were asked to respond to questions like, "How did that exercise work for you? How are you looking at this now? And how could we do this better?" The evaluation data contributed to changes to the planned curriculum and program activities. For example, the participants took an inventory to assess leadership style and wanted to spend more time on the topic, so the next month's agenda was adjusted to accommodate the request. Participants complained that the sequencing of topics was not logical, so the agenda for the second cohort to follow in year 3 of the project was adjusted. The first cohort graduated at its final session, during which the cohort welcomed the members of the new cohort. Leah had worked with an internal team of consultants throughout the implementation, and the team was ready to take over the facilitation with the second cohort. Following the event, Leah met with James and the new team to tie up loose ends and make the transition. She met periodically with James during the 3rd year to ensure that the Leadership Academy was running smoothly. As this vignette illustrates, although checking is the 3rd phase of the action research process, it takes place during the planning and doing phases as well. This chapter focuses on checking, which is data-based evaluation to assess whether an intervention had the intended result. Section 6.1. Defining evaluation in action research. The model of action research used in this book has 3 phases: planning, doing, and checking. Refer to Table 5.1 in Chapter 5 in your ebook for a review of each phase. The final phase of action research, checking, involves three steps. First, the consultant and client gather data about the key changes and learning that have occurred. This step is known as assessing changes. Next, the consultant uses this data to assess if the intended change occurred. Was the change implementation effective? Were the proposed outcomes met? As a result of this assessment, the consultant adjusts the intervention accordingly. This step is known as adjusting processes. The third step is to terminate the OD process or repeat it to correct or expand the intervention, known as recycling. Assessment, adjustment, and terminating or recycling are collectively known as evaluation of the action research process. Purposes of evaluation. The overall purpose of conducting an evaluation is to make data-based decisions about the quality, appropriateness, and effectiveness of OD interventions. Evaluation helps us determine whether an intervention's intended outcomes were realized and assess and adjust the intervention as needed. Evaluation helps ensure accountability and knowledge generation from the intervention. An evaluation creates criteria of merit, constructs standards, measures performance, compares performance to standards, and synthesizes and integrates data into a judgment of merit or worth. Credit Fournier, 1995. Evaluation findings help render judgments, facilitate improvements, or generate knowledge. Credit Patton, 1997. Evaluations used to render judgments focus on accountability for outcomes, such as holding management responsible for making changes in leadership. Improvements concentrate on developmental processes, such as creating new learning and growth. Knowledge generation emphasizes academic contributions, such as new insights that may change a process. Establishing a benchmark. To illustrate how evaluation helps OD consultants assess and adjust an intervention, let us consider an organization that has conducted survey research to assess employee satisfaction. The first year creates a benchmark when an organization compares its business processes, practices, and performance standards to those of other organizations that are considered best in class. That can be used in future evaluations. Further, let us imagine that employee satisfaction is at a moderately satisfied level the first time it is measured. When the survey research instrument on employee satisfaction is replicated in future years, the level of satisfaction will be compared with the original baseline to evaluate whether the organization is doing worse, the same, or better than it had originally. The evaluation can help the organization identify key changes and learning that occurred as a result of the intervention. Then, the organization can adjust practices accordingly. The American Productivity and Quality Center developed a benchmarking definition representing consensus among 100 U.S. companies. Benchmarking is a systematic and continuous measurement process, a process of continuously measuring and comparing an organization's business process against business process leaders anywhere in the world to gain information, which will help the organization take action to improve its performance. As cited in Simpson, Conduli, and Y, 1999, page 718. Who invented that? Benchmarking. The exact derivation of the term benchmarking is unknown. It is thought to have possibly originated from using the surface of a workbench in ancient Egypt to mark dimensional measurements on an object. Alternatively, surveyors may have used the term to refer to the process of marking cuts into stone walls to measure the altitude of land tracks, and cobblers may have used it to describe measuring feet for shoes. Credit Levy and Ronco, 2012. Benchmarking in U.S. business emerged in the late 1970s. Xerox is generally considered the first corporation to apply benchmarking. Robert Camp, a former Xerox employee, wrote one of the earliest books on benchmarking in 1989. Camp described how U.S. businesses took their market superiority for granted and were thus unprepared when higher quality Japanese goods disrupted U.S. markets. Benchmarking is a specific type of action research, but the process can also be applied during OD intervention evaluations. There are several types of benchmarking. Competitive uses performance metrics to assess how well or poorly an organization is performing against direct competitors, such as measuring quality defects between the company's products. Comparative focuses on how similar processes are handled by different organizations, such as two organizations' recruitment and retention activities. And collaborative involves sharing knowledge about particular activity between companies with the goal of learning. Credit Ellis, 2006. Bogan and English in 2014 described benchmarking types a bit differently, noting the activity might focus on processes, for example, order fulfillment or billing processes similar to comparative, performance, for example, comparing competitive positions similar to competitive, and strategy, for example, identifying winning tactics across an industry, perhaps similar to collaborative. Almost any issue of interest can be benchmarked, including processes, financial results, investor perspectives, performance, products, strategy, structure, best practices, operations, and management practices. Benchmarking could be a part of the data collection process in OD, an intervention, or the basis of an evaluation. Table 6.1 in your ebook shows typical benchmarking steps. Other purposes of evaluation. Caffarella in 1994 and Caffarella and Daffron in 2013 identified 12 specific purposes of evaluation data. Evaluation helps to, number one, adjust the intervention as it is being made in terms of design, delivery, management, and evaluation. Number two, keep employees focused on the intervention's goals and objectives. Number three, provide information to inform the continuation of the intervention. Number four, identify improvements needed to design and deliver the intervention. Number five, assess the intervention's cost effectiveness. Number six, justify resource allocations. Number seven, increase application of participants' learning by building in strategies that help them transfer learning back to the organization. Number eight, provide data on the results of the intervention. Number nine, identify ways to improve future interventions. Number 10, cancel or change an intervention that is poorly designed or headed for failure. Number 11, explore why an intervention fails. And number 12, provide intervention accountability. Moreover, during the planning phase, evaluation can help consultants assess needs and make decisions about how best to intervene. The Leadership Academy's goal was to improve leadership, but James and Leah had to assess the content that would be most appropriate for leadership in public health. Then, when the participants were selected, they had to make further assessments to ensure the program was relevant to the participants' particular needs. Evaluation may also help test different theories and models of addressing the problem. In the case of the Leadership Academy, James and Leah based their interventions on theories and models of leadership. They threw out what did not resonate with the participants or work well during sessions and revised the program for the second cohort. Evaluation also helps monitor how the intervention is going during implementation, so it can be adjusted accordingly. Such adjustments occurred throughout the Leadership Academy implementation over the course of a year. Finally, evaluation helps determine whether the intervention goals were met and what impact the change had on individuals and the organization. Measuring this type of impact may require more longitudinal study than other types of evaluation. The evaluation of impact helps consultants decide whether to extend the intervention, change it, or abandon it altogether. The Leadership Academy will be continually reevaluated as new cohorts participate each year. Clearly, evaluations have the potential to accomplish a variety of goals. Throughout the OD process, it is critical to stay focused on an evaluation's purpose. Have you experienced any of the evaluation activities discussed here? Steps in evaluation. Just as with action research models, so too are there many approaches to undertaking evaluation. That is, there are different ways to model the steps in the process. Two are discussed here. Evaluation Hierarchy. Rossi, Lipsy, and Freeman in 2004 offered an evaluation hierarchy that recognizes the importance of engaging in evaluation from the beginning of the action research process. That is, evaluation should occur during the initial client contacts, be built into the plan for intervention, and be ongoing throughout the implementation, prior to the formal assessment of the intervention's impact, cost, and efficiency. Doing evaluation is a matter of conducting a mini-action research project. Caffarella's Systematic Program Evaluation. Caffarella, in 1994, outlined the steps generally taken during an evaluation. Her steps have been modified to address key OD issues in the following points. Caffarella's steps are intended to be sequential under ideal conditions, although reality may be quite different. Note that Caffarella has proposed a lot of steps. She has elaborated more on the steps than some other models, but still follows an action research process. Number 1, secure support for the evaluation from stakeholders, such as the client and key management. This step should be a provision of the contract, as discussed in Chapter 3. It is the process of getting management to commit to the time and resources needed to evaluate the process, as well as being willing to pay attention to the findings. Number 2, identify individuals who can be involved in planning and overseeing the evaluation, such as the participants, management, client, and others affected by the intervention. This is usually led by the consultant and client, and would involve employees who are engaged in the implementation. It could also involve those affected by the change who did not necessarily participate in it, such as customers or suppliers. Number 3, define the evaluation's purpose and how the results will be used. This step is elaborated on in a later section of this chapter. The evaluation's focus should be determined and then built accordingly. For example, is it aimed at improving a process or judging an outcome? Does it pertain to planning the intervention or the intervention itself? Is it aimed at assessing adherence to budget or performance outcomes? Number 4, specify what will be judged and formulate the evaluation questions. This step is driven by the evaluation's purpose. If you decide to evaluate how satisfied employees are with a new performance appraisal process, questions should relate to that change and be used to judge whether it was effective and should continue. Number 5, determine who will supply the evidence, such as participants, customers, management, employees, or others affected by the intervention. Number 6, specify the evaluation strategy in terms of purpose, outcomes, timeline, budget, methods, and so forth. Number 7, identify the data collection methods and timeline. Data collection was discussed extensively in Chapter 5. The selected methods should match the evaluation's purpose. Number 8, specify the data analysis procedures and logistics, covered in Chapter 5. However, the analysis should be focused on making decisions and changes to the intervention, not on diagnosing the problem. Number 9, define the criteria for judging the intervention. This can be somewhat subjective unless the metrics are defined in advance. For example, if the intervention were aimed at improving employee retention, would a consultant measure simply whether it improved or look for a certain benchmark, such as 10%, to deem it successful? Number 10, complete the evaluation, formulate recommendations, and prepare and present the evaluation report. These steps mirror the data and analysis steps presented in Chapter 5 and the feedback meeting strategies in Chapter 4. And finally, number 11, respond to recommendations for changes as appropriate. Table 6.2 in your ebook compares the action research model used in this book to Rossi, Lipsy, and Freeman's and Caffarella and Daffron's evaluation steps. These models vary in terms of detail and number of steps, but they essentially follow the three phases of action research: planning, doing, and checking. Evaluation is essentially conducting research within an action research process, as shown by these three examples. Caffarella and Daffron's steps are comprehensive, covering the key tasks that must be completed during an intervention's evaluation. However, it may not always be possible to follow these clearly articulated steps. Evaluation can be unpredictable and may present challenges that are often unanticipated. For example, if an implementation has been challenging, a client may balk at the evaluation out of fear of receiving negative feedback. On the other hand, employees may be reluctant to participate if trust levels are low. Thus, it helps to pay attention to relevant dynamics and expect the unexpected. Evaluation provides critical information about an intervention's impact both during and after its implementation. Thus, no matter what model is followed for performing an evaluation, it is essential to begin planning it before the intervention is well underway. A consultant's job is to ensure that evaluation is integrated into the OD process from start to finish. Unfortunately, evaluation is often overlooked in favor of wanting simply to take action on the problem. And too many consultants consider their work finished once the intervention has occurred. In other cases, consultants go about evaluation haphazardly. If they cannot demonstrate that their action was effective, however, they risk undermining their client's confidence in the OD effort, fail to permanently solve the problem, and put themselves at risk of repeating similar mistakes on future assignments. Consider this. Think of an evaluation in which you have participated. How well did it follow the plan, do, check steps? Section 6.2, Types and Categories of Evaluation. Theorists have proposed different types and categories for evaluation. This section identifies some of these different approaches. Types of Evaluation. Evaluation can be either formative or summative, depending on the intervention's goal. Credit Scriven, 1967, 1991A, and 1991B. Scriven is considered a leader in evaluation. You can view one of his lectures by visiting the media links provided at the end of this chapter. Formative Evaluation. Making changes to an implementation that is already in progress is called doing a formative evaluation. Formative evaluation is concerned with improving and enhancing the OD process rather than judging its merit. The following types of questions might be asked when conducting a formative evaluation. What are the intervention's strengths and weaknesses? How well are employees progressing toward desired outcomes? Which employee groups are doing well and not so well? What characterizes the implementation problems being experienced? What are the intervention's unintended consequences? How are employees responding? What are their likes, dislikes, and desired changes? How are the changes being perceived culturally? How well is the implementation conforming to budget? And what new learning or ideas are emerging? For example, consider an intervention focused on changing reporting relationships as part of a work redesign in a manufacturing plant. A consultant might discover that some of the new arrangements do not make sense once implemented. These might therefore be modified as the work redesign progresses. Asking questions pertaining to the problems, the employees' perspectives, their likes and dislikes, and so forth, yields information that helps tweak and improve the process. Formative evaluation is generally ongoing throughout the implementation. Consider this. What types of formative evaluation have you participated in or observed? Summative evaluation. Undertaking evaluation at the end of the OD implementation with the goal of judging whether the change had the intended outcomes and impact is called summative evaluation. Summative evaluation is also known as outcome or impact evaluation because it allows the intervention's overall effectiveness to be ascertained. A consultant can then decide whether to continue or terminate it. Credit Patton, 1997. The following types of questions might be asked by the consultant, management, or an external evaluator when conducting a summative evaluation. Did the intervention work? Did the intervention satisfactorily address the performance gap? should the intervention be continued or expanded? How well did the intervention stick to the budget? Summative evaluations should follow four steps. Number one, select the criteria of merit. What are the sought metrics? Number two, set standards of performance. What level of resolution is sought? Number three, measure performance. Conduct the evaluation. And number four, synthesize results into a judgment of value. Credit Shadish, Cook, and Levitan, 1991, pages 85 through 94. Adequate levels of both formative and summative evaluation must be incorporated into the OD process. Failure to conduct formative evaluation leads to missed opportunities to adjust and improve on the implementation as it is in progress. Omitting the summative evaluation means never learning the intervention's outcomes and impact, or lacking adequate data on which to base future decisions. Severo's evaluation categories. Severo in 1985 identified seven categories of evaluation for planners of educational programs that have relevance for OD. His list has been adapted for OD interventions in terms of categories of evaluation. Number one, intervention design and implementation. This could be either formative or summative because the design and intervention are assessed for fit and impact. Imagine implementing a new performance appraisal process. Formative evaluation might involve piloting the evaluation and evaluating how well it worked for both employees and supervisors. The performance appraisal would then be modified and implemented. Summative evaluation in this case might examine whether the new performance appraisal process improved performance, satisfaction, and learning. Number two, employee participation. This type of evaluation assesses employees' level of involvement in the intervention. This could also be formative or summative. In the case of performance evaluation, a consultant might examine the level of involvement and seek feedback from employees. A summative evaluation might evaluate whether the level of employee participation was adequate and whether it yielded positive outcomes. Number three, employee satisfaction. This type of evaluation assesses employees' level of satisfaction in the intervention. This could also be formative or summative. In the case of performance evaluation, a consultant might examine the level of satisfaction with the new performance appraisal or its implementation process. A summative evaluation might evaluate how satisfied employees are once the new performance appraisal system is in place. Number four, acquisition of new knowledge, skills, and attitudes. This type of evaluation measures learning during and after the intervention and could also be formative or summative. In the case of performance evaluation, a consultant might examine the level of involvement and seek feedback from employees. A formative evaluation during the pilot phase might determine that supervisors lacked the skills to effectively implement the new process and give the level of feedback desired. It would allow the consultant and client to revise the process and provide adequate training to supervisors. A summative evaluation would assess the level of learning from the new performance appraisal system. This could take the form of employees improving their performance and supervisors showing demonstrated improvement in their ability to give feedback. Number five, application of learning after the intervention. This category is similar to the previous one, but it is summative. It judges how learning was applied after the intervention. A consultant might look for evidence of how supervisors applied what they learned about giving effective performance feedback to other interactions with employees throughout the year. Number six, the impact of the intervention on individuals and the organization. This category could be formative or summative. The formative evaluation might look at how the intervention affects organization life via communication, understanding, participation, and satisfaction. A summative evaluation might look at the overall impact on job satisfaction, financial performance, and retention. Number seven, intervention characteristics associated with outcomes. This type of evaluation attempts to link aspects of the intervention to outcomes and is summative. This can be more difficult to measure if the intervention was complex or had several interventions built into it. A consultant might evaluate how a participative process affected the implementation's overall success or employee satisfaction. Consider this. If you have had the opportunity to evaluate organization change efforts, have you experienced any evaluative measures on Cervero's list? Which ones would be most relevant for the Leadership Academy vignette? Can you think of other categories that might be added to Cervero's list? Section 6.3, Frameworks of Evaluation. This section profiles some common evaluation frameworks. There's no best framework. Rather, you should find what you are comfortable working with and what effectively fits the situation. Further, you should determine the purpose of the evaluation and use a framework that best facilitates it. Kirkpatrick's Four-Level Framework. Kirkpatrick's 2006 Four-Level Evaluation Framework can be formative or summative and is one of the most widely known evaluation typologies. It became popular in the 1990s, although Kirkpatrick developed it as a doctoral dissertation at the University of Wisconsin in the 1950s. It was originally created to evaluate training programs, and OD consultants use it to conduct evaluation at a range of points over time. The framework classifies an intervention's outcomes into one of four categories: reaction, learning, behavior, or results. Refer to Table 6.3 in your ebook. An outcome is assigned a category based on how difficult it is to evaluate. For example, the simplest type of outcome to evaluate is participant reaction to the intervention. Thus, this is assigned Level 1. Level 1, Evaluation. Level 1 measures participant reaction to the intervention. This type of evaluation is sometimes referred to as a smile sheet, because it measures only what participants thought and felt during or immediately after an intervention, and in very simple terms, whether they were satisfied, neutral, or dissatisfied. Refer to Figure 6.1 in your ebook. As an example, consider the Leadership Academy vignette. At this level of evaluation, the consultants might ask the Academy participants questions such as, "How well did you like the session? Was the learning environment comfortable? Were the facilitators capable and credible? And did you feel it was time well spent?" This type of evaluation may make facilitators feel good about introducing an intervention, but it does not effectively measure change. Unfortunately, it is the most common form of evaluation employed in organizations because it is the easiest to measure. Tips and Wisdom, Smile Sheet. If you are facilitating a meeting, workshop, or seminar and want to gauge the participants' reactions to the event, create an opportunity for them to share feedback. One way to do this is to put a flip chart page with the smiley face symbols shown in Figure 6.1 in the hall outside the session room. Give participants a dot apiece and ask them to place it in the column that best represents how they feel about the session so far. It is important to place the chart out of your eye shot, so people feel comfortable sharing honest feedback. This offers a snapshot of participants' reactions and allows you to make adjustments in the moment. You can also use Twitter or other social media to solicit this data. Level 2, Evaluation. Level 2 measures participant learning from an intervention. This level of evaluation assesses whether the intervention helped participants improve or increase their knowledge or skills. At this level, James and Leah might ask the Leadership Academy participants, "What was the key thing you learned from this session?" Or, "What new skills have you acquired as a result of this experience?" This type of evaluation works best after participants have had a chance to return to their workplace and apply the principles and behaviors they learned, and thus is summative. Participants might also be interviewed or surveyed about learning during the course of the intervention, which would be formative. Level 3, Evaluation. Level 3 measures changes in behavior. This level of summative evaluation assesses whether participants are using their new knowledge or skills in their job. At this level, James and Leah might ask Leadership Academy participants their supervisors or subordinates, to what extent has the leader's behavior changed and improved as a result of the Leadership Academy? Or, what is the person doing differently now? Similar to level 2, this type of evaluation is best done post-intervention. It can be accomplished by interviewing, observing, or surveying participants and stakeholders affected by the intervention. Level 4, evaluation. Level 4 measures results for the organization. This level of summative evaluation measures how the intervention affected business performance or contributed to the achievement of organization goals. At this level, James and Leah might ask Leadership Academy participants, their supervisors or subordinates, how has the organization benefited from the Leadership Academy? To what degree has employee satisfaction, productivity, or performance improved? To what degree has recruitment and retention of employees improved as a result of improved leadership? How many promotions have occurred as a result of participating in the academy? Or, how much money has the organization saved due to better leadership decisions? As these questions indicate, it might be difficult to actually measure and attribute changed leadership to organization results and outcomes. Kirkpatrick continued to evolve his model and even questioned whether it was a true model or just a guideline. His family members have continued developing it. Credit Kirkpatrick and Kirkpatrick, 2016. He also expanded his focus to consider an intervention's cost-benefit ratio and whether it demonstrated a return on investment. Measuring these variables can also present challenges to organizations and OD consultants. Lawson's application of Kirkpatrick's framework. Building on Kirkpatrick's framework, Lawson in 2016 categorized variables relating to the what, who, when, how, and why of the framework's use. Her approach has been adopted for OD and is depicted in Table 6.4 in your ebook. Critiques of Kirkpatrick's framework. Kirkpatrick's 4 levels of criteria have been dominant for decades among evaluators. Credit 1994, 2006. With popularity, however, comes criticism. First, the model has been critiqued for being primarily focused on post-intervention realities. That is, for evaluating what happens after the intervention versus incorporating more formative evaluation into the process. The 4-level framework also does not help evaluators link causal relationships between outcomes and the levels of evaluation. Finally, the framework does not help evaluators determine what changes equate to the different levels of evaluation, or how best to measure each level. Some authors have suggested expanding the reaction level to include assessing participants' reaction to the intervention techniques and efficiency. Credit Kaufman and Keller, 1994. One might also try splitting the reaction level to include measuring participants' perceptions of enjoyment, usefulness, and the difficulty of the program. Credit Warr and Bunce, 1995. Kaufman and Keller recommended adding a 5th level to address the societal contribution and outcomes created by the intervention, which is becoming more popular with the increased emphasis on corporate social responsibility and sustainability. Phillips, in 1996, advocated adding a 5th level that specifically addresses return on investment. End of Chapter 6, Part A.